We'll act with the April 17th, 2009 edition of the Rand Report in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is the Rand Report, destined for the Hamvention, May 15th through the 17th, in, where else, Dayton, Ohio, give or take a suburb. I am Byron Lee, KC9EEK, reporting from my studio in Chicago, Illinois, where winter is finally starting to give way to spring. This week we go digital again, with another look at APRS, the Automatic Packet Reporting System. One of the main players in APRS today is Peter Lavelle, AE5PL, whose software is used in APRS internet servers. Rain's Hapali, KC9RP, caught up with Peter last fall at the Digital Communications Conference in Chicago.
APRS, the brainchild of Bob Bernenga, WB4APR. Bob basically was seeing the slow demise of the AX25 world during the late 80s.
Otherwise known as Packet.
Packet radio. He sort of found a new application for those TNCs, which were the modems, that was starting to gather dust in the amateur radio closets. That was the automatic position radio system, which became APRS. When he designed the original implementations, there was no such thing as GPS. This was before GPS, but you could manually create your position report and such like that. And of course, when GPS came along, that became something really popular, is that now I could hook my GPS up to my radio and get that information, my position information, across automatically without human intervention. But APRS is far beyond that. It also provided communication of other automatically generated information, such as weather, telemetry, used in satellites, things like that, and weather stations here on Earth, giving periodic weather reports. Also, it is a communications protocol, amateur communications protocol. It is bidirectional. You can message back and forth. It is based around the AX25 protocol, which is packet radio.
Where is APRS today?
APRS today has grown to approximately 35,000 stations worldwide that are on the air. Of that, approximately 22,000 of those are individual amateur call signs. And when I say worldwide, amateur radio, of course, is an RF medium, but like everything else, we've adapted a lot of internet to it and been able to interconnect all these. APRS primarily is on VHF or UHF frequencies. We've been able to interconnect all these disparate VHF and UHF RF networks to allow for worldwide communication. So I can communicate simply by putting in somebody's call sign, be able to text message to somebody in Brazil or in Germany, something like that, without even having to worry about how it gets there.
Or where they are.
Where they are at that point, because they may be in the United States at that point, and the nearest Sygate will realize that and send it to them. So APRS is now a worldwide network in use in most of the countries where amateur radio exists. It's all interconnected so that we can communicate worldwide as well through this medium without having to worry about routing and things like that.
Let's talk about APRS from a perspective of a public service event. I'm going to have my radio club involved in a marathon of some sort, and I want to use APRS to keep track of where all my participants in this marathon are. How does that work and how do you set that up?
That's a good question, and the key there is a phrase that is used very heavily within the military ranks and within the emergency communications ranks, and that's called situational awareness. What you have described is basically what is asked for by those organizations, and that is, how do I get situational awareness? Where do I know where my assets are? How do I dispatch those assets? With APRS, I can have a tracker that's just simply the size of a Altoids box and be able to literally have a tracker in there with a GPS that can transmit my position. In the case of things like marathons and such like that, I can know where all my assets are, where all the sag wagons are, where all those kind of things are, you know, all the rest stops and such like that, simply by the APRS beacons telling me where each one of those stations are. We also have adapted the D-Star GPS capabilities in the D-Star radios to also report to APRS so that we can have voice communications with situational awareness at the same time on the same frequency. So it's just an extension of the APRS world.
Talk about that little tracking box.
The one in the Altoids box is a pocket tracker made by Scott Miller, and I apologize, I don't remember Scott's call sign offhand. He is also the one that is the developer of OpenTrack and OpenTracker. It has an APRS intelligence in it. It has the TNC modem. It has the radio. And it also has the GPS, and it's all built into one little box. And one little tiny printed circuit board. It only transmits about 100 milliwatts. It's not a real strong signal. But since that time, Bionix and Scott are introducing higher power transceivers with built-in APRS, but still on the very small footprint. You also have Kenwood with their D7 that has a small footprint that you can put the GPS on, a handheld. And you also have Yaesu, the VX8R, which also has a small footprint handheld with a GPS built in.
Once the receiver in the little tracking box figures out where the heck you are and transmits the signal, 100 milliwatts or whatever, where does it go?
In AX25 packet format, that goes out over and most often on a 2-meter frequency. In the United States, we have standardized for APRS work on 144.39. In Europe and other countries, they normally use a frequency up around 145 megahertz, which is more in line with their band plans. I believe Canada also uses 144.39, and I believe Mexico is now using 144.39. We all share the same frequency, and that's part of what makes APRS work, is because these packets are unnumbered, connectionless packets. What that means is that when I transmit it, I'm not expecting anybody to acknowledge that they received it. That may be heard or it may not be heard. And because it may not be heard, I'm going to transmit it again at a certain interval. And that's what's known as beaconing. But because we all share a common frequency, we can then have people put up and clubs put up things called digipeaters, which are digital repeaters. If the AX25 packet is so formatted that it wants to be repeated, then the digipeater will repeat it, and people since VHF and UHF obviously is line of sight, people out of line of sight can now see your position, and possibly one of those people out of sight might be one of these internet gateways or iGates, and that will gate it into the internet as well so that the people on the internet can see where your positions are.
You're listening to an interview Hap Holly conducted with Dallas-Fort Worth resident Peter Lavelle, AE5PL, who is one of the main players in modern-day automatic packet reporting system, APRS software. We'll hear the rest of Hap's conversation with Peter in a moment. This is The RAIN Report, available as a weekly podcast from therainreport.com. We'll be right back.
What research is going on to put APRS to even more applications than we already are?
Well, we've got a pretty good group of applications, and there's always new people developing applications. But the key applications that people look at are twofold. One is the situational awareness that we've talked about, and that is the position reporting and such like that. Bob Bruninga, WB4 APR, also is promoting things such as APRSTT, which is a way to use touch tones to identify yourself as being near a repeater, doing things like that, some of which are also actually part of a protocol, which is the D-Star protocol, that is a digital communications protocol. AX25, while it's a digital protocol, the communications is actually analog. You use a modem to transmit it. In the D-Star case, that is a digital protocol, and it actually uses a digital communications all the way through from start to finish. The D-Star protocol implements some of the things that Bob has been promoting for the last 10 years in new applications that could be used, and such as APRSTT, where you have call sign routing, where I can simply say, I want to talk to KC9RP, and it will know, because you've transmitted one time on one repeater, the repeater systems, no matter where I am in the world, will know where you are and allow you to hear me talk. This is a very similar application to APRSTT, except that there's no human interaction other than you keying your radio. It's a very direct. That's all part of things that have been thought about within the protocol. The protocol itself is a relatively static thing because any specification needs to be static for people to develop against it. In other words, if it's continually a moving target, you can't develop against it. And so you need a fairly static target, but what people have been doing is adding things like weather reporting, being able to have the National Weather Service bulletins being transmitted out to RF so that your Skywarn spotters know where the National Weather Service is saying a severe storm is and where the severe storm warnings are. And with the positional awareness in a Skywarn environment, for instance, the APRS will be telling Net Control where those spotters are. And they can map those onto radar displays so that they can also tell a spotter, hey, you're in a bad spot. You need to move because that storm's moving towards you. You need to move east by so far or west by so far to be out of its way and still provide us good, useful information.
Not many years ago, GPS had an error factor built into it because of the U.S. government's concern about certain facilities, military and otherwise, being targeted by terrorists or what have you. Now, that error factor was removed, I believe, during the Clinton administration. How accurate are the APRS systems now?
The APRS systems, of course, are only as accurate as the GPS systems, with WASS. It's an auxiliary satellite system that provides correction factors to the GPS radios from stationary satellites. GPS is a constellation of always moving satellites. The WASS satellites, WAAS, Wide Area Augmentation Satellites, I believe is what it stands for. They're actually geostationary satellites. What they do is they provide correction factors. Because these satellites are always moving, the receivers can only know to a certain degree of accuracy where that satellite is in the air.
Depending upon how many it sees.
Right. And what the WASS signal does is that it actually provides a more accurate description to the receiver of where those satellites are. In other words, it'll say that satellite 1, 2, 3, 4 is not really where you think it is, it's actually 2 meters further east or something like that. Mm-hmm. And that's the augmentation that it's providing. With that augmentation, you can get accuracy literally down to a foot or less. In actuality, most receivers will say down to 3 meters or less, which is under 10 feet. But you can get even further accuracy than that, depending on how many satellites you have you can see. 3D is less accurate, which is altitude as well. That will always be a little bit less accurate than the 2D surface location. The military still has an even more accurate system with working with the GPS, but that is not available on commercial receivers.
If someone wants more information about APRS, where do they go?
Two places. One is Bob Runinga's website. The best thing to do is do a Google on WB4APR and APRS, any type of search on that, and you will get that website. The reason I can't recite the website is it's not its own domain. He works for Annapolis, the Naval Academy, and is associated with the Naval Academy and uses and his email and his websites are through that.
I'm real surprised he doesn't have his own domain name.
He's always been part of Annapolis, and so that's been at. For further information also with the links to his website and others, you can go to www.APRS-IS for Internet Service is what that stands for, APRS Internet Service, okay, APRS-IS.net. And that is a website that gives more information about APRS on the Internet, what services are available, as well as links to a lot of the APRS software that's available, whether it's Internet-related or not.
And how can someone email you?
Someone can email me at Pete@AE5PL.net. Pete@AE5PL, which is my call sign, .net.
That was Peter Lavelle, AE5PL, speaking with Rains Hap-Holly about recent developments in APRS, Automatic Packet Reporting System technology. Hap spoke with Peter at last fall's Digital Communications Conference held in Chicago. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990-2009, RAIN, all rights reserved. Now for RAIN's founder and producer, Hap Holly, KC9RP, I am Byron Lee, KC9EEK, bidding you a very 73 for everyone at RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.